Welcome to the Mindset for Life podcast. This is Bethany, your coach from drbcoach.com, coaching with power, purpose, and practical tools to help you show up with confidence. Hello and welcome. Thank you all for joining me today. This is Bethany, and I have a site called drbcoach.com. I hope you'll check it out sometime. I've got a blog with some ideas that might help you live more confidently and find a mindset shift that can help you see things differently and move forward in your life, removing barriers and obstacles and feeling like you have more purpose and direction. So all of the things that I share here on the podcast are really geared towards providing you with insights and some suggestions and guidance, sharing stories and ideas, resources. Everything here really is aimed at targeting your well-being and help you live the most confident, happy life possible. So today I'd like to talk a little bit about confidence. I recently read a book called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Susan Jeffers. This is a fantastic book. It's been around for over 20 years. And there are some great life-changing principles in this book. As I read it, I thought a lot about confidence. So our topic today is confidence. Self-confidence comes from within you, in your mindset. It's a holistic, overarching thing that kind of touches every aspect of who you are, how you feel about yourself, how you see yourself, and how you, as we call it, show up in life. So I've thought a lot about this, and I'd like to share five truths about fear that stood out from this book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, that we can talk about today. So before I do, I'd like to just introduce the idea that there is a continuum between fear and confidence. Now, you might be thinking that confidence is this calm, happy, great feeling that other people have, and maybe you don't always feel that way. In situations, maybe a person is public speaking or making a difficult decision, or acting on a decision they've already made, or parenting. Maybe they're even just working or showing up in life. And from the outside perspective, it might look totally confident. Inwardly, we don't always know how other people might be feeling. In fact, a lot of times those people at work or we see parenting their children, or we see them at a church meeting or wherever, inwardly, they don't feel very confident. They're taking those steps and they're doing those things that we observe, and we see the outside, but we don't really know what's on the inside. So I like to suggest there's this continuum of confidence and fear. Confidence at one end, fear on the other, and confidence might actually have a little bit of fear in it. We might be acting outwardly with the appearance of confidence, inwardly knowing we're doing the right thing, but still feeling a little bit of fear about that. So it might be surprising to think about the fact that when you're truly self-confident, you might have good feelings, but you might also have a little bit of understanding the fear, but moving through it, acting anyway, and acting as if the fear wasn't there. So be ready to think about how we feel unpleasant feelings, what we do when we feel them, and do we let those thoughts and feelings that kind of push us back actually stop us from taking action or being who we think we should be? So the five truths about fear that Susan Jeffers shares, I'm going to share now. So number one, the fear will never go away as long as I continue to grow. That is really food for thought, isn't it? So if you're out there continuing to become the best version of yourself and you're doing your best to try all those things you'd like to try, use your gifts and talents, live your values, beliefs, whatever it is, you will continue to feel fear. You might feel it the rest of your life. How does that sit? That's an interesting thought, right? So I can think about times in my own life where maybe I disagreed with someone else and I thought, if I say what I really think, they might not like me anymore. Have you ever thought that? That sharing your true opinion might be a problem for someone else in certain situations? Well, use your best judgment always, but I can admit that in parts of my life, I held back my thought or opinion because I was afraid of the potential outcome. Now, I'm not going to get more confident in sharing my thoughts, embracing my thoughts, and really truly understanding who I am and being that best version of Bethany if I just stop the moment I'm afraid about what someone else thinks. So when you're feeling that same way that I have felt at times, understand this truth, that the fear will never go away as long as I continue to grow. So if you're interested in changing anything about your life, expect fear. Expect it. Predict that it's going to come. It's going to sometimes be debilitating, sometimes be very small. Sometimes it comes in the form of doubt or kind of wondering. And of course, you've got to explore that. But understand the fear will not go away just because you made a right decision about your thinking. So the second truth that Susan Jeffers shares here in her book is the only way to get rid of fear of doing something is to go out and do it. That is so true. I can tell you from my own experience that I have had many opportunities to take new action in my life. And many times I have sat on that action for months or even years, wondering, should I do this? Is this a good decision? What if it's the wrong decision? Well, what could happen? If I let go of that part-time job, will I have enough money? What if something bad happens? Maybe it's meant to be. So many paralyzing thoughts that you can have about decision-making, right? But the only way to actually get rid of fear of doing something is to actually do it. So taking that action will help get rid of the fear. If we sit in the fear and we don't take the action, guess what? It's actually going to get worse. So fear grows. Fear can handicap us if we let it, but it's definitely not going to go away unless we act on the thing we're feeling the fear about. So let's just say you're thinking about talking to your son, your teenage son, about something that's going on in his life, and you really want to have a positive impact, but you're afraid that if you speak with him about what's on your mind, he might be mad. And what's the worst that could happen? He might be mad. He might not talk to you for a while. He might leave the home for a little bit. You don't know. But is that person's anger under your control? Probably not. He might be mad anyway. Maybe he's just a mad little boy. We don't know. Probably not. But whenever we have the fear about, say, having a conversation with someone that might be unpleasant, because we're afraid of how they'll perceive it or how they'll experience it or maybe what emotions they might throw at us, the truth is that fear is gonna be there and we can't control other people. So the only way to get rid of the fear of doing something is to go out and do it. All right, so truth number three, the only way to feel better about myself is to go out and do it. So that sounds pretty obvious, right? If we don't feel very good about ourselves, we have to just make a choice to like ourselves, to think we're great. We have flaws, we have strengths, we have talents, we have weaknesses. That's called being human, right? So anything that we don't like about ourselves, we can change or maybe we can work on or at least acknowledge, but we can only feel better if we simply do choose to feel better about ourselves. So think about that. And if you're not feeling very good about yourself, consider the positive aspects maybe that you're not seeing, those wonderful things that make you you and make you who you are. So number four, not only am I going to experience fear whenever I'm on unfamiliar territory, so is everyone else. as I mentioned before, we might observe other people and think, wow, how did they do that? How did they do that with such confidence? How did they take that step? I wish I was brave like that, or I wish I had those opportunities, or wish I had that kind of life. But the truth is, other people experience fear also. In fact, it's quite reassuring to think about what other people might be feeling when they're doing something that we think they look great at. The external observer has no idea what the emotions are, right? So not only am I going to experience fear whenever I'm in unfamiliar territory, so is everyone else. So let's just say you don't like your job, or your job is going to end. Maybe there's something about it that's going to change or needs to change. And maybe you've been on pause for a while thinking about this, stressing about it, unable to sleep at night, really thinking about, what am I going to do if I change jobs? Or how am I going to find another job if this job goes away? So everybody experiences fear in a situation, right? It's unfamiliar territory. What are you going to do? Well, if you are faced with a situation of changing jobs or having to change jobs, there is a whole canvas out there of opportunity. And yes, it might be unpleasant for a while. It is unfamiliar territory, and you're going to feel fear. And that's okay. You're going to continue to grow through that, and that fear is going to be there in regular life, whether or not you have a hard thing coming up like a job change. So the only way to get rid of the fear of doing something is to go out and do it. So maybe you're going to explore your career options. Maybe you're going to think about reducing your output financially to change the way you manage your money. Maybe you're going to lean on your family members for a while. Maybe you have some relatives that can support you while you're in the job search process. Maybe not. Maybe there's a service out there you can seek. But whatever it is, not only are you going to experience that fear whenever you're in unfamiliar territory, so is everyone else. So the last truth about fear is pushing through fear is less frightening than living with the underlying fear that comes from a feeling of helplessness. That is an interesting thought that goes right back to the beginning of these five truths, which is the only way to get rid of the fear of doing something is to go out and do it. So pushing through that fear and taking the action is actually less frightening than living with the underlying fear that comes from a feeling of helplessness. So the alternative to feeling fear, to giving in and pausing and choosing not to take action, is taking action. And I call that confidence. So confidence to me means that we're letting go of the outcome and not trying to control other people's feelings or the experience or whatever that is. We're going to do the best we can to get through the fear in the new experience or in the thing that we're trying to avoid. And we're going to simply show up and do our best and push through this thing. Maybe we understand and accept that we're going to be flawed and imperfect, and sometimes we're going to rock it like amazingly. But either way, if we can see things clearly, understand our fear, be willing to feel it, and push through it, it's going to be so much better for us than stopping and being paralyzed by it. Because being paralyzed by fear is a place where we no longer have clarity, right? So on this polarity idea, so if we have this scale, on one end we have fear and on the other we have confidence. Confidence is a place where you're going to have a clear mind. You can enjoy your life and relationships. Your feelings might sometimes be afraid. You might feel fear about a lot of things, but you're going to be clear thinking. And you're going to understand and be able to show up your best and do your best, knowing that whatever the outcome is or whatever the other people feel or think or do or say, you are still being true to your values, your priorities, and bravely moving forward and growing and changing and becoming who you're meant to be. So there are some ideas here that I'd like to share about how we can face the fear and embrace confidence. So the first one is to get clear on who you are. It's a really great idea to think about your strengths and your weaknesses and acknowledge those. We all have them, right? Other people can see our weaknesses plainly. And if we try to deny them or hide them or bury them, since other people are probably plainly aware of our weaknesses, that's really just not effective. So when other people see us clearly at times, maybe they don't, but we owe it to ourselves to see ourselves clearly. So the first idea toward greater confidence I would suggest is to get in touch with your strengths and weaknesses and kind of do an inventory. What am I good at? Where do I possibly have weaker space, where I need to improve? Where are my values? What do I think is actually most important? Do you value including other people? Do you value being alone? Do you value showing up on time, or do you value just showing up at all? What are the things that are most important to you, separate from your friends, your family, husband, wife, children, any of that stuff? So get clear on that. Secondly, find a place where you can slow down and think about those things that are impacting your life with drama. So drama feels like anxiety. It feels like worry. It feels like tension, contention. It feels like intense emotion and angst about other people or situations outside of ourselves. So drama feels like maybe we don't like how someone else is feeling or what they've said, or we don't want to have to deal with it. Or maybe we feel like it's something we need to do something about. So I would suggest on that to let it go and to take the time to stop and think about situations and kind of determine what is in my realm of control and what is not. So that can be helpful in building confidence and giving you the space to maybe let go of a few things that are on your emotional plate there. Number three, the third thing is to think about areas in which you might want to grow. So is there a strength you'd like to use more often? Are you a really good listener? Maybe you want to be in conversations where you can be supportive to other people. Are you a really good speaker? Maybe you want to be in front of people and sharing your thoughts and ideas. Are you wonderful at comforting other people? Maybe you want to enhance that. So that third idea is to focus on growth. What would you like to grow? And I personally suggest just choosing one thing at a time, because it can be very overwhelming to think about all the areas you need to grow or want to grow. But if you choose an area of strength for yourself and focus on enhancing that and using it and observing kind of how does it show up in your life, how do you use it, that can actually be very powerful in building confidence. Because we often focus in life on what is wrong, what is missing, what we're bad at, what we feel bad about, or what we're ashamed of. And focusing on a weakness when you're trying to build confidence is probably not going to be the most successful approach. So I suggest focusing on a strength and determining how you might enhance it. There are a lot of ways you can do that. You might consider reading a book, taking a class. Maybe you might consider participating in life coaching. That's something I do. And I love coaching other people on who they want to be and who they are and just their situation and experiences. Coaching is about enhancing strengths and developing your best self. So that's something definitely worth thinking about. Perhaps there are other ideas you have, but think about enhancing your strengths and growing in an area. And remember, when you do that, it might feel scary, because whenever you're growing, the fear is always going to be there. But confidence comes from being clear on who you are and being okay no matter what the outcome is. So the last tip I have for you today is about those practical tools and things that you need to do to actually feel okay physically about yourself, and that is to practice self-care. It can be very difficult to show up confidently in life when you're exhausted, when you're depleted, when you're drained, and when you're not feeling good. So the things that are good for self-care are thinking about how important it is that we take care of ourselves and then have something to offer other people in our lives and the world at large. So we can't do that if we're not taking care of ourselves. Some things that might be helpful to think about would include getting enough sleep, doing some moderate exercise. If you're not heavy into exercise, taking a walk at least is a good thing. Giving yourself a little bit of time every day to think, to reflect on the day, on how things are going, maybe what adjustments you'd like to make that day or also long term. Self-care also has to do with thinking about your own spirituality, your connection to life as a whole, the universe, God, if you're a believer, the universe, if you're not sure about that. Self-care also has to do with feeding yourself healthy foods that are going to give you energy. So we all have different kinds of body types. Maybe you're a person that is much more fueled by fruits and vegetables. I personally am a high protein person. I do try a lot of different things in my diet plan, but that is what works the best for me to feel fueled and ready to go. So whatever it is for you, you want to have some good self-care because it's very difficult to feel confident and move forward when you're physically just drained, depleted, and not feeling good. So think about that. All right. So today I've shared with you a few truths that came from Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Susan Jeffers. I highly recommend checking out this book if you're interested in reading. I've also shared some strategies to help you show up with confidence, and I really wish you all the best in this quest. It's a long-term quest for all of us, and I know that you can do a great job when you think about your strengths and just get real with who you are and what's important to you. So, all right, I'm going to let you go. So see you next time on the Mindset for Life podcast. I encourage you to join me on the web. I have a website. It's www.drbcoach.com. And I do offer life coaching and also have a blog and share messages on my Facebook page. So feel free to join me. Until the next time. This has been a podcast called Mindset for Life by Bethany at drbcoach.com. To find me on the web, you can visit my blog or my website at www.drbcoach.com. That's drbcoach.com.